Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free. There'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you will get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast.
Hi all, and welcome to your weekly fix of Celtic Underground podcasting, where we talk about, I don't know, is there a game tomorrow? Celtic playing tomorrow? I can't quite remember. Yeah. And we might talk about that, and might just talk about that. And we'll also talk about the D-United game. Delighted to be joined by, I'm going to avoid the two Stevens here. So Stephen, if you know Stephen Murray, then he's also known as St. Anthony. Yeah, you put your hand up because you might be in a different position for where I see you. But so from henceforth in this podcast, he shall be known as St. Anthony, like the patron saint of like lost causes, isn't it?
No, lost
things. No, that's St. Jude.
Causes is St. Jude.
That's St. Jude, that's...
Lost things, lost items.
Lost items, yeah. We did it all the time, prayed to St. Anthony, and then you would find it, and then you'd think, my God, it must be St. Anthony's found that. But of course, it was the last thing you prayed to before you found it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You gave up everything else. So you were ascribing the praying with St. Anthony doing his work. But it was only after you prayed, of course, you found it.
Does that make any sense?
No, it didn't do anybody any harm. And we had to put in a wee donation into the box at the back of the church once you...
St. Anthony's bread.
Yeah, got your item returned. And sorry, that was a long preamble. Saying, and Stephen Ryan, you shall be known henceforth as Stephen.
Okay, that's easy for me to remember.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
Ask me again this time tomorrow.
Well, I know. What it does to us, I remember Neil Lennon used to always talk about how he didn't sleep during Champions League campaigns, and he got very, very ratty to deal with. It's just that kind of pressure, because so much goes into you, the whole season is so much determined by what happens in these games. But I suppose we should look back before we look forward, look back to Saturday night. It's funny, there's been a real kind of sneering about the performance in Saturday night because of the five Dundee United efforts off the goal frame. But I can handle that. Saying, what did you think about Celtic's 4-0 at Dundee United on Saturday night? Which I was there, actually, which is very rare for me, but people are away on holidays, and me and my boy get tickets, which is odd.
Well, I was pleased overall with it, with the performance, and pleased with the goals we got, though. I really don't think we got out of third gear, which seems strange to say we're 4-0 win, but I think we had more in reserve to go up a gear if it was required. You do have to say United gave a good account. The two in the first half would have made a difference, because I can't quite remember what the score was. I think it was nothing each goal, nothing. Then they fit the post. But the teams are hitting the bar in the second half. They would have probably been consolation goals in some way. That's not to decry the fact that, I mean, it was real bad luck. I don't ever remember watching a game where the opposition have hit the woodwork Celtic five times. But get back to our own performance. I thought we did okay. I wouldn't go overboard about it. And my son was watching it, and he was getting quite excited. I was saying, well, some of the new signings are showing up well, but we'll get a better idea where we are this time tomorrow night. Well, not this time tomorrow night, granted. Tomorrow evening when the game's finished. Because that is a step up in class now. Austrian football in general terms, the athlete, isn't he Spain, isn't he France, isn't he Germany, but at the same time, they'll be a better team than anything that we're playing in the Premier League. and they are the Austrian champions, therefore I deserve of respect. So I'm happy we beat Dundee United. I'm happy we scored a good few goals. But everything's up in the air at the moment until tomorrow, because we're not quite sure what we're going to get.
Indeed. And there was a lot of talk. I thought it was a kind of, it was maybe overwrought about the fact that we didn't quite have control of the midfield, Stephen, because no Engels, of course. I told you last week that was his last game. Me and Saint said it was his last game.
We did.
We also said Scales would start and left back, I think, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had a go. Oh.
Look, you can do tomorrow's team then.
I'm taking the wins whenever I can get them, Stephen. But, I mean, there was, United didn't have a single shot on target. And Kilmarnock the previous weekend with Engels, they had 6 shots on target. So there's a problem with this midfield in terms of screening, preventing efforts on target. And because I think the defence, when it gets to their own box, they're defending okay, actually. But it's like, it's that next line, it's the midfield line. We haven't been particularly good at it for the last 14 months, I'd say, stopping teams playing through. But I doubt, how did you see it, Steve?
Like, it was a funny one. Like, you know, we were all ready for life after Engels. And in fairness, we missed him enough last season that you've seen what it was like. And even when he was there, in fact, he wasn't always actually a first pick in a team, which you maybe think for somebody that cost that amount of money would be first name in the team sheet every week. And he wasn't always. I think it's two different games. If you compare them, the game against United and against Kilmarnock, both of them created some chances. You know, I think we've had an issue with physicality and legs in the midfield, even with Engels in there. So him coming out of it hasn't made it like more glaringly obvious. I think he gave us something in the running last year. Maybe as Saint said, a lot of that came from Alistair Johnson as well. You know, so that, you know, was part of it. I thought Saturday we were actually okay. Kind of like Saint said, we never really had to play that well. But, you know, we got the 2 goals in the first half. That kind of killed them. You know, and we were confident at 2-0 that they probably weren't coming back. Then the third one, Tenekti scores that. That was it, definitely. Sometimes at 2-1 can be a dangerous score. You know, a team gets back in it. And especially last year, we had a bit of a wobble. But we never really looked like it. And although they had the chances, I think even if one of the ones that hit the woodwork went in, I think we had more than enough to go up and score another one. Because it felt a wee bit like that. So we played well. We made the changes at a good time. People got a run out. Like, I was frustrated again, maybe that, you know, James Forrest was coming on rather than one of the youngsters when the game was won. But I think the games at the moment are maybe all about preparing for tomorrow night. So we want to get everybody that's going to be involved, get some, you know, that's why it was important. Scales got some game time. That, you know, Bauer got on the pitch. Hassan got on the pitch. You know, Forrest has had some involvement. So I think he's not going to chuck in any youngsters tomorrow night. He doesn't need to, you know. So I think what we've seen so far is a little bit, we talked the other week, is whether this was preparation for the, you know, looking at actually the Kilmarnock game, preparing for last before Ross put us right and reminded
steady,
us with the game
steady.
In between.
Yeah.
Do you know, but like, so I think we probably have had an eye on this game, the team selection, but the team kind of is what it is now, isn't it? You've got 9 of the 11 are picked. Because it was that 11 that Engels and Johnson have gone out of. Donovan's probably nailed on for right back, because he seems to have been more involved than Ralston, which I think is a good thing. I think you can blood a youngster if you've got 3 more experienced players in the defence beside them. And then it's the other one is who's going to be the other midfielder, because it's not going to be Oxlade-Chamberlain, because he's suspended. So it's
at least they found that out.
Yeah, at least before we've done a Legia Warsaw, and it's not going to be Hatate because he's dead. So it's probably going to be Bauer, you know, it's the only one I can think of, unless he does something, you know. I can't imagine who else it's going to be at this stage. And I think that's probably a good side. Do you know, we've got more up top than we had this time last year. That's the bit that I'm more happy about.
Definitely, and that's what's making all the difference, because the one thing that suddenly Celtic look as if there's goals in them, don't they? They really do look as if they're a team that can score goals ruthlessly. I mean, they've been pretty ruthless these last couple of games.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the main thing is that we're creating chances and we're taking them as well. The player from midfield to front, I think we're very good. I think that we've got good options as well. players that can come on and change a game, and maybe even obviously score goals when required. But just as Stephen was saying there, that the midfield isn't quite right for me either. But we've long spoken on this podcast about the need for a more physical and a more athletic midfield player, and somebody who's a driving force. But we haven't had that since Scott Brown. Scott Brown left in 2021, that's 5 years ago. Ange made it clear, I think you had alluded to Andrew and something.
Yeah.
You raised it with Ange. Ange went, that's not my kind of player. And Ange played at the game with the three football midfield players, and we've carried that on a wee bit. Brendan carried it on, and so now we're on to Martin O'Neill. I do think it's something missing in us, and I think it shows when we play a better class of opposition, because as somebody said, I can't remember which one he was, teams play through is too easy. McGregor is asked to do too much. He isn't a tackler. He hasn't got the strength and drive. Callum controls the game by possession. He's not really much of an asset when the opposition has possession. So really, what I've been hoping for years is we're going to sign a Wanyama type to go in there,
yeah,
basically not only protect the back four, but allow McGregor and Nygren or whoever we've got to push forward into a more attacking role. So I don't know if that's going to come about. Bauer certainly doesn't look that kind of player. He was really impressive in terms of passing, movement, control of the ball. He looks like it was only a 20-minute cameo, but on the basis of that, he looks a good player. Yeah, we're scoring goals, but we look as if we're going to score goals. But the worry is that I keep making the point, when you play against a better class of opposition, whether they will make it harder for us, and I think they make it too easy for the opposition in Europe.
Yeah, and it's funny on Bauer. What was your thought? I saw a lot of people saying, and I couldn't disagree, that it was Rio Hatate like, wasn't he?
Yeah, he tied in.
The way he took it in the tongue, and
yeah, similar. I'd see him as being more of a sort of, or even a McGregor, dare I say, replacement or a complement than that physical up and down player that, you know, maybe we need. I thought he was okay. He was tidy. He wasn't amazing, but in some teams with good midfield, I remember I had a customer years ago who was a big Chelsea fan. He was a guy down here in the valleys, and he'd never saw Chelsea in the flesh. Got tickets, went down to London, watched them. And it was when they had, like, you know, really good Drogba, all these skillful players. And he came back and I said, well, you know, how was that? And he said, oh, best player on the pitch. You'd never see him in the telly, Makalele.
Yeah.
He said, because at the game, Makalele on TV, they're not watching that guy because he's not doing anything, but he's doing all the stuff that you don't actually notice. And I get a sense that, you know, if you look at the write-ups on Bauer were good. Derek Ray on social media is very good. The Scottish guy, the commentator, he does a lot of Bundesliga football.
Derek Ray!
He spoke very well of him, didn't he? And he knows his football. He's the kind of good, you know, same as the guy Sid Lowe was talking about, Hassan, you know, he does a lot of Spanish football. It's good to see guys that watch that football regularly rather than some of us. They might see the guy on YouTube and everybody looks brilliant on YouTube, you know. I'm sure Balikwisher looks brilliant on you. I see Mvuka's gone. I'm not allowed to mention that team in Norway.
But it starts with a B, and then it's
with a B. But Mvuka sings for them. Maybe their model isn't that good. But I just hope we don't play them in the Champions League. I hope we're in the Champions League, but I don't want to play them in case he turns up and bites us on the arse. But I think, you know, if Bauer starts tomorrow, I'm kind of okay with that. But it is... It's not ideal that you're maybe starting with a team that hasn't played. Ideally, Bauer would have been in a fortnight ago. We said it last week, didn't we?
We did.
You know, Engels should have been sold. I was thinking about it today. Like the whole transfer window, look, we've had all this pre-season, and in the first couple of games, with Engels in the team, we'd have been better if Engels went at the end of May. Transfer window should finish the end of June. And you pick your new club for the night, and that's it. You train with them, and then... Because, you know, next year we're going to have three qualifiers. So you could lose a player every round. You know, that's just mental.
As I think almost, well, you say three qualifiers, don't want to make any presumptions, but if they won the league, the reality is your squad for those, the start of the Champions League campaign next year, is really decided by the January transfer window.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, could you have any, this window on January, but could you have any faith that they're going to get players in the type? They've failed. They've failed because Duran arrived on July the 10th, and you can see he looks the part.
Yeah.
He's fully assimilated. He is the guy. It looks as if you could get a lot of money for him in 18 months to 2 years, because there's something, I like his composure. I like his just assurance on the ball. Like, and he just seems to he's a guy that seems to make things happen. He always seems to be bright. And you think all these things, that wouldn't have been the case if he'd arrived when Hassan arrived.
Yeah.
Hassan looks as if, to me, it looks as if it'll be 3 weeks before you can really
potentially
hang your hat on him. I mean, what did you think? I was quite kind of concerned a wee bit, Saint, when you saw Hassan, because he looked a mile off it.
Somebody commented to me that he looked as if he'd just come off the beach.
Yeah, he did.
Well, because he looked glowy when you get in the sun. But what disappointed me a wee bit about him is he had two or three opportunities to take on the fullback. And for a guy whose biggest attribute is his pace, you would think he would just have tried, even if you don't succeed, just knock the ball by the fullback, see what the fullback's made of. And if you've got this burst of pace, everybody says that you've got, then, you know, that's carrying you down the park. And he never, ever tried that. It was as if he was holding back. That worried me a wee bit, you know, maybe he just felt unsure. He didn't feel, I don't know what was going on, but he just didn't, he wasn't what I expected, to be honest.
I'm with you all the way. I was really surprised. I thought, you're 4-0 up, you can try anything. You can imagine Jota in that situation, even Jota from kind of week one, week two at Celtic. And he arrived in, was it September the 2nd or September the 1st or something? But he was immediately on it. But we've got to give this guy time. But it's a failing of squad management. We've definitely got this. Now, I must say, got to go on my hobby horse here, but people say, they're gambling with the 40 million. No. Do you know what I have to say, even though that I'm damning the board over how they've managed this transfer window, but I think it's a kind of logical fallacy that you're gambling because you don't sign players, because you don't know if these players are any good. The gamble is that you have to play this tie. There's the gamble. In a nutshell, it doesn't mean, can you imagine, remember Mitchell and Ange's first game? And he actually played really well for a team that he was kind of stitching together. He was patching up. And then poor Barkas makes his mistake near the end. Remember, he flaps and it goes to 1-1. Now, see, if Barkas had signed a week before that, people would say, if you'd got Barkas, I know he signed a season before that, right?
But
see, if he'd signed a week before that, people would say, see if he'd been in for a couple of weeks, that wouldn't have happened. No, sometimes players just don't fit. You don't know that. Every transfer's a gamble. You can't say, if we had three more players, say Celtic had half a dozen of Rangers players in from July the 10th with Duran, would there be in any better state?
Yeah, but you can easily say every player you sign is a gamble. Absolutely. You know, and what you try and take is you take the gambling out of it, you make it as educated as possible, you make it as scientific as possible. You look into it. A lot of stuff about players for Celtic isn't actually skill. Ross has talked about the last couple of things about how skillful Balogun is, apparently, and how in training, and the youngsters really, really look at him and think, you know, any of the youngsters that he's spoken to, who's the most skillful player training? Balogun. Skillful means nothing if they don't have the right attitude and application and, you know, whatever it is to play to play for Celtic. You see, Rangers is similar. We laugh at all the failings at Rangers, but some players there at jerseys, and there's so much pressure there, I think we've got more character in our team. But straight away, Alistair Johnson came in. I think Johnson's first game was a Rangers game, wasn't it?
It was at Ibrox, yeah.
Didn't bat an eyelid. Straight in the tackle, guy up in there. Didn't care.
He did.
But you can tell, 5 minutes in his company, you can tell he's got the right mentality.
Yeah.
You can tell that with who? I think you can tell it with Duran as well. They seem to have that Maeda, you probably get it. You maybe don't get it in Hatate, but Hatate's a different... You know, Hatate came in on his debut and scored the screamer against Hearts, didn't he, at Tynecastle?
Was that
his first game, saying? Or
no, I think it was his... Was that maybe his second game?
No, his first game, no. I thought the Rangers game was his first game.
No, that was his third game.
No, I think the Hearts game was before the Rangers game, and he scored a screamer.
Before the Rangers game.
He came in early on and put a marker down about how good a footballer he is. And I think that's where you've got to get recruitment right. It's funny, I put the thing in the chat today. How is everybody feeling about tomorrow? You know, there's a bit of a... I think we should be favourites, same as we should have been last year. Because we're, you know, if you look at all the different rankings, we're ahead of this team. You know, they won their league last year. The Austrian league is on a similar level to ours. So they're probably... But Hearts nearly won our league last year. And I don't think they were the best team. And I think if you look at... Like, Salzburg had a bad season and Sturm Graz had a bad season and last kind of came through the park, didn't they?
They did. They started off really badly.
Do you know that mad thing in Austria whereby...
They have the split, yeah.
And then you split, but then...
You have the points, yeah.
So it may be a wee anomaly that they won the league. Yeah. I don't know what's about it.
But they still won their league, didn't they? So they're a good side. Yeah. They're going to be on a similar level or better to teams like Motherwell, Hearts and Rangers, who we dropped points to last year, aren't they? So we need, they're not a team at a Kilmarnock level or a Dundee United level, with all due respect to those two teams. So they're a top four SPL side, definitely. But if we get our act together, tomorrow's massive. It's just...
Yeah, I mean...
You want something to hang on to before you go over there.
God, I mean, it might come down to you need to do something in both legs, even if it's just no lose over there. You know, you might only have a kind of slender lead taken. The one thing is, I would say, a new Celtic on the road, because he's no wedded to this, we've got to play football and all that. He's get the job done. You know, like that's what I mean. I was over there for the Bologna game. Just get the job done.
Mm.
If it requires just a total rear guard action. O'Neill's no, like, he doesn't blanch at that. So that's where I think he'll be better just by his very nature.
In terms of
the way he coaches. But I mean, I was looking at the record signing last, it was this guy, Marian Ljubicic, who said they signed 3 years ago for £3 million. That's the record signing. They haven't really signed anybody this season. I think they've lost one of their main players to an ACL.
They don't have any great pedigree in Europe. I mean, see when you look at it, they haven't been in Europe since it was the Europa League, and it was around about 2024-25. About the six games, they didn't win a game. I think they drew two and lost four. In fact, they lost one really heavily. They lost 7-0 AC Milan or something like that. So, I mean, this isn't a team that's constantly in Europe and has European experience. They'd want to come along to Celtic Park hopefully tomorrow night and be blown away by the atmosphere and not being used to it. And we need to make the best of that. If they're going to show any nerves, as they're going to be affected by the big crowd and the noise, then we've got to take advantage and get as big a lead as possible to go over there.
Yeah, I mean, and you could, do you remember the Apple? Was it Apple?
10 years ago,
Was that 5-2 they took over to there. And then they
and
should have really lost that night.
Should
have lost that night. It's funny, everybody talks about how it's 7-9 losing. Mm. But see the ones even they've got through? They've squeaked through, man. When was the last time Celtic kind of strode their way into the Champions
League? We played Helsinki, we won home and away, and we played Helsingborg and we won home and away.
Yeah.
And
that was the last year.
That was the last time that they probably qualified without a sweat.
Right.
You shouldn't be, with your respect. I mean, I'm not being, the last thing I would want to be is condescending, but when you're playing Helsinki and you're playing Helsingborg, you should be getting through. And that's your problem in the last couple of years. I mean, Kairat was an absolute embarrassment last season. He had a coefficient at 7.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's the lowest coefficient of any team we have ever played in a series game in Europe. 90 minutes at home, couldn't he score. 120 minutes away from home, couldn't he score. So that was a good point one of you guys was making earlier. We do have more firepower. So the hope is that we can still keep it tight at the back. But if we are going to create chances, we need to start taking them.
Compared to where they were a year ago, I think they're in better nick, Celtic, going into this, aren't they? Even though Lask are a much better team, you would imagine, than Cara, but Celtic are in better fettle than they were.
I think we are. No, we are. We're a better team than we were this time last year. I think we've got, but I think the difference is Duran.
Yes.
Those two are the difference. Whereas last year up front we had Maeda, who was kind of misfiring because he'd just been told, you're going to Germany, sorry, you're not going to Germany. You know, and Ademida was told, we don't want you, we're getting somebody better, but we need you to play and score. You know, so you had strikers that weren't quite there, but knew they were on the way. You know, we maybe hear these things a week or, you know, a couple of days before they happen. But those players would have known for some time that, you know, Maeda was meant to be going to Germany. Ida was in talks with Swansea. Those were things were going on. So it's bound to affect you as a player. Whereas now we've got two guys in. Maybe it's better that Ingles isn't playing. Because you
I
might not be able
so.
To rely on him. But I do think so. It'd been better if he'd left a month
agree
ago.
Agree with you. I think so as well.
And we'd have brought in a guy a month ago that had some time with his teammates.
I think it's daft to talk about kind of keeping him to after these games. They've tried that. Remember they tried that with Van Dijk. Do you remember saying in the
Fraser
Malmo,
Forster didn't work.
Fraser and that Malmo over the two legs, you could implicate Van Dijk in three out of the five goals. I watched him again recently. He was bloody awful.
Malmo had a guy up front called Rosenberg, really physical guy.
Mark Rosenberg, he killed him.
Yeah, and I mocked with Van Dijk that night. People forget that physically, Van Dijk could be handling. He was such a handful.
Older, experienced striker, wasn't he?
Rosenberg, I think his name was. He.
Yeah.
Do they know of Joe Engle?
Bergie.
Yeah.
That was the old classic. He couldn't kick his backside at Celtic, and then he comes back to Celtic Park and scores two goals.
That's another example of a team, again, without being, wishing to be disrespectful. Malmo, right? But when we played Malmo, we won 3-2 at home, you beat 2-0 away, and that's when away goals was still a thing, so it made it a wee bit more difficult, losing the two goals at Celtic Park. But the big, if somebody was to say to me, well, what's your biggest criticism in the board? My biggest criticism in the board isn't a fan media thing. It isn't even the transfer thing. It's the fact that we have lost in really important Champions League games with a lot of money at stake, right? To mediocre opposition who we should be beating.
It's substandard.
It's probably happened six times. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's what happens again tomorrow night? Not so much tomorrow night, obviously, but after the second leg, if they don't get through, I dread to think what the atmosphere is going to be because people are not at the woods yet. A lot of gangs are, you know, on the board, they're doing a wee bit better. They're signing players, they're releasing the money, they're getting the deals over the line. If we can't beat LASK over two games, you know, big questions I've got to ask about those running the club.
Huge questions. Huge. If you get, and that would be the 8 out of 10, and we've said the other two were just getting squeaked through. There must be some systematic, you know, like error, or some systematic issue.
Look, it's Stephen, difficult. It's not easy to do it. It's a real stressful game. But, you know, players make mistakes that wouldn't normally make mistakes. You know, you talk that Malmo game, they got their second goal in the fifth minute of injury time. We were 3-1 up and actually we battered them that night.
We
should have been
half.
4 or 5-1 up.
Yeah.
We absolutely battered them. And then they scored right to the death and it just changed the game. Whereas now I think when we went over there, you've got the away leg thing is in the back of your head and, you know, the two away goals, that doesn't count now. So I think the objective tomorrow has to be go out and win the game. You know, and if we concede, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you don't want to, but like, you know, just, you know, I'd rather win 5-1 than 3-0 because it's a four-goal advantage, isn't it? It's not, you're not losing the, you know, just go out and win the game and see how we got on. And we're saying as well, for me, the issue with the board and where people say, oh, we're not quite doing as well as we can, all comes down to Europe. All comes down to just not doing it. It's not when we get beat by Barcelona or Juventus. That's fine. We accept that. But getting beat by sides that we should really be beating 4 times out of 9 instead of 2 times out of 9 or 5 or 6 times out of 9. And that's the...
Yeah, you're going to have the odd aberration. I mean, I remember even when Ajax were much better, they lost the odd. And look at PSV even losing to Rangers. Yeah, there's never a loss to Rangers. So it does happen, but it can't happen 7 out of 9.
Yeah.
Do you say if it happens 4 out of 9, you'd say, aye, fair enough. You have to be in the credit over the 9
Salzburg,
especially because
have.
You haven't played any. They're not any even middleweights. They're blooming paperweights. A lot of these teams. I mean, they really.
If you look at it, I think Salzburg, until Salzburg went straight into the Champions League, they had never came through the qualifiers. They were losing. They were losing to Zagreb, Malmo, teams like. But they had a really good record in the Europa League and the UEFA Cup. But they seemed to have a psychological block. But then a lot of that was maybe they weren't ready for the playoffs. And that's why this is a game, you know, next season might be different. If you look at the team now, actually, I don't see a big sale next summer because who's the big sale going to be? So it's, you know, the guys that have just signed, you'd like to think we hold on to them for more than a season because we're not one of those clubs that we turn players. The only player that might go next summer is maybe Negrin if he stays and has another 20-odd goal season. Maybe he's the guy that goes next summer.
Yeah,
because we did expect, but you know, but he's had a good start to the season. He was very good again on Saturday. He looks with a proper number nine up front. He looks better. So maybe, you know, we're going to have some good problems soon. You know, when all these players are fit and ready. You know, when Hassan is ready to play. When Jota comes back, which might be sooner than we think. That's going to be a great problem to have. It was like when Anshad, you were talking last week, saying about when we had. You know, you had Abada and Jota were starting. Maida was on the bench. The guys that were coming on were almost better than the guys that we were taking off. We never dropped a level when you changed the team after 60 minutes. You want to kind of get back to that again.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose you didn't mention Johnson there. I wonder, I could understand Engels saying that it freaked him out, that Johnson injury. And he would also have thought about Chermiti across the city. He wouldn't have been oblivious to that. So you think, am I going to miss my move? And a lot of people that are kind of sneering at him for going to the championship, they seem to forget John McGinn, ultimately, at the very last minute, he chose Aston Villa in the championship over Celtic. And you think about it now, he's now a captain of a European Cup, Europe team. And he's been a mainstay in the English top flight for 5 years or whatever. So
it's a gamble, isn't it?
It is. But West Ham should jump back up, and he's where he wants to be. But you worry, and I wouldn't want this for him. But Alistair Johnson, does he maybe miss his window because he's that wee bit older? Does he maybe miss his window now?
Yeah.
I think sometimes nobody disagrees with the policy we've got of maximising the transfer fees when we're selling players. But two things that need to be borne in mind. Number one, these guys are contracted to us, right? So we decide when they go. They don't get to decide. And number two, the club have got an obligation to the fans to let us see the best players possible. Now, the thing with Alistair Johnson is I would play hardball with Alistair Johnson. He's under contract to 2029. It's not unreasonable to say, give us another season, right? And you can go with our blessing, 2027. But right now, we're in a pickle. We don't have another right back. Certainly, we don't have an experienced right back. And we do want to get through these qualifiers. The irony is, he's now injured and he's going to miss the qualifiers. So, if Alistair Johnson was fit, I would have been taking a tougher stance with him and saying, even if it means giving him a rise and saying, let's make it worth your while. We'll give him the money. Until the end of the season to keep you happy. It's only one more season and then you can go wherever you like with our blessing. But, you know, we'll maximise your transfer fee. You'll get to play in a better environment and you'll be cash rich. You'll get cashed in as well. But I sometimes think we're too keen to sell. If you're really playing hardball, you should have said to Engels, hey, Arnie, you can go in the last day. In fact, you can go the day after the last away game because we will know at that point whether we've qualified or not. And if they have qualified, I mean, all the very best to you. And if they have to qualify, you know, whatever. But if we don't win tomorrow night, if we don't win over the two legs, we leave ourselves open to criticism because people say, what did you sell Engels for? If you'd have kept Engels, you'd have got through. That's we're in a no-win situation at times because no matter what we do, it's never really, you can't satisfy people.
Yeah, I suppose it comes down to the personality of the player. I think what you're talking about with Johnson might be possible with Johnson. But maybe Engels is just a different type. He's just a different personality. He's younger and he's more impatient to take the next step. Because obviously he was sold on the Celtic project because it was like, this is your passport to, to get in.
See, get back to what you were saying there about the, we've been talking about how we've been failing over the course to beat mediocre teams. You know, yeah. Peter Lawwell and Michael Nicholson would have KPIs, key performance indicators. And there's two huge ones for me that if they don't meet these, they shouldn't be getting anywhere near what they're getting in terms of their salary. The first one is you must sell out any season tickets. You must sell to the public and maximise the income from the ticket sales. And I think we do that, by and large. I think you need to go back to the days of maybe Neil Lennon when Rangers weren't there and yeah. Some people get disinterested and wandered away before they come back when Brendan came. So that's the first KPI, right, that they're meeting that. The second KPI is, if we don't qualify for the Champions League, they shouldn't be getting bonuses. Right? Because that is where the majority of our income will come from. And I can't think of another industry where the chief executive would fail in probably his biggest KPI and still get like seven-figure bonuses.
Well, apparently...
Not a seven-figure bonus, but a seven-figure salary juicy bonuses. It weighed into it. That's another reason why we're letting ourselves down as well.
Well, I hate to almost take on the kind of Harry Brady role here, but I'm led to believe that if he doesn't get in the Champions League, his salary, Nicholson, plummets from about 860 to about 500. So is that maybe
we'll
about...
see in the accounts, won't we? Because he didn't make it last year.
Yeah, but you'll see.
That didn't happen with Lowell. Lowell didn't have a massive drop-off.
Lowell's different, isn't he?
I've got 20 sets of accounts sat
behind me.
No,
believe you, but I'm saying...
That my wife has told me to get rid of and burn or something or tidy up.
Especially when you're on here, don't.
And I, you know, I'm a weirdo, I look through them all, but we never really... And I totally agree with saying it should be... That should be the first measurement. And it's, you know, fan satisfaction. We sell all these season tickets, but how many of the fans are... And satisfaction shouldn't just be about we win all the time. We know that. We're Celtic fans. We've been through that. We can actually accept getting beat, you know, and losing, but it's...
Can we?
It's, you know, how do you treat people? What's the stadium? You know, the youngsters, maybe your two boys haven't seen much of us getting beat, neither's mine. You know, he doesn't go to games like your two lads. But, you know, they're not used to us not winning, like, leagues and titles and things like that. You know, there should be more. And I'm not just talking about whether, you know, the Green Brigade are happy in the corner and stuff like that. But there has to be things like better fan engagement. And we've talked about it. We're coming to that late. Again, aren't we? We're doing it, and you know, we've still got Brian Wilson. You know, we've got a chief executive that gets paid 800 grand, and he might be a really nice guy, okay? But we know nothing about him because he doesn't talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And what other PLC is the front guy in the company that invisible? And that's why he shouldn't be in that job. You know, Don McKay, people have different views about Don McKay, people have different views about Lowell. But love him or hate him, Lowell was never hiding away. He was up front, and if you didn't like it, he would tell you, and he would stand up, and he had something.
Behave yourself.
About him.
Yeah.
Behave but he yourself. Had gravitas, didn't he? He did have it. You didn't have to like him, but you could respect him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's something I think we miss. He's not, we joked, we talk about manager. Brendan's probably an alpha male, although he's a bit weird. Ange is an alpha male. O'Neill is definitely an alpha male. Like, Michael Nicholson just isn't. You know, he's not. He just doesn't give me that. And he might be a really fantastic lawyer. He might be really, really good at what he does. But we don't know anything about him. We don't know, even if you had a... You know, the interviews we have with him on the club are terrible. You know, so you don't get a good feeling for the guy.
No, I know. So, although, you know, at least he doesn't come out with a kind of key of Kavanagh.
Look, absolutely, yeah.
You'd rather see if he was your CEO and he was coming out with that kind of rot.
That Gillespie
you'd go,
clown.
Oh, don't. Just being more invisible, please.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're pandering to the masses, aren't they? Or, can you say mass when you're talking about them? Yeah. That's maybe an ecumenical matter.
In my job, I always have to cap up mass. I would maybe get the sack if I didn't. So, I mean, I'm going to do it because Ross isn't here and I suppose I'm trying to take the Brian role. I'm going to score predictions. I'm going to give you mine. I'm going for 3-1, actually. I think there's goals in this there Celtic team. But there's also the possibility of them losing a goal. Stephen?
I don't like doing this, but I'm going to say 4-1.
Oh.
I don't know, but I think we've got goals in us.
Could be one of the nights. It could be one of those nights.
I think I'm feeling more confident than I was last year's games. And even before last year's game, even though we didn't think they were a great side, there was a real malaise. There was a...
There was a gloom
over the thing.
Something's not right,
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Something's not right in the camp. The one thing is you can say about Anil, Anil's not a guy that's going to throw his players under a Honda Civic. He's not
Unless it's Hatate. But, like, you know, everybody else is okay.
He's not going to ask his players to do things he thinks they're not capable or that they might not be capable of doing. So, even on those two bases alone, he's ahead of the game for where we've been the last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Saint, what do you? What's your score prediction?
2-0.
Oh, that's...
I was going to predict that you would say 2-0. I thought you look, you had the 2-0 look about you when you kind of leaned forward there. I think we'd take any of those three scores, wouldn't we?
That's what we say. We take any of the three. Yeah, and it's like, we'll be clipped up. See if they lose 4-1 or something like that. They'll be clipped up. I was thinking, you know the one I was thinking about? And it's the one of the ones I would forgive them for when we keep talking about this 7-9. See that Ferencváros one? It was, you know, it was, remember it was during COVID, so it was over one. It was just one over one game, a one-off game. They should have won that out of the park. Do you remember, I think, Christie, did he miss a couple of real pinches?
Do you know what, I think I forgot about that one. I don't have any recollection of that much, other than the fact that it was the angriest I've ever seen Harry Brady on the site, post the plot. I'm sure he made the fault of having a podcast right after that game, which I'm happy to say. But you'll tell yourself, he went away in one.
Is that the one Neil Lennon was going to come and knock on his door about?
I mean, Neil Lennon were done at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Neil didn't help himself after it, man. Like, yeah, I think my piece in the Scots the next day was he's turned a drama into a crisis because he talked about there's so many people that don't want to be here. So there you go, Keaton players. Remember it was Aya, Aya, Edward, Christie, because Christie, that was, I think he told us on the podcast, Christie, round about that time, there was a 10 million bid for Nice and he was keen to take it.
Yeah.
So at least there's none of these things. At least there's none of these things swirling around. You see, even if you know, it would be good if they were smart about it and really could push on. But see, even, and I know when this will come out, it'll come out tomorrow morning. But see, even day of the game, even if the player can't play, but see, even if they made a signing tomorrow, a decent signing,
it gets the crowd up
and introduced them.
I bring them before the game or half time.
Before the game.
One of the best atmospheres I ever seen at a game was the game when Jock Brown got sacked that morning.
Yeah.
And we were all going into Celtic Park, absolutely. And it was like, this guy's lost his job. And we were like, come on. The whole place was... And sometimes, I'm not saying we sack Michael Nicholson tomorrow, maybe, one of them. But, you know, but it's something like that that gets the... Look, it's like the time of the Romans. You give them something.
Yes. Bread and circuses.
Yeah, feed the masses something that, and that could be it tomorrow, a signing announcement. It could be they're not going to play, but you know they're happy to come, and it could be a positive thing.
Could be, as you say, saying sign a player, bring them out before it,
or sign them at midnight tonight.
Well, the game at Stevens talked about where Jock Brown went before that. That was Lubo's debut. They beat Dundee.
It was, yes, yeah.
He's right, there was such a...
It was soaking as well. Do you remember it was torrential rain that day?
A great atmosphere because...
Yeah.
Brown wasn't very popular. I thought overall he did okay, but there was an element of the support that didn't take to him for the staff. But to be fair, Brown didn't help himself at times. He was Fergus's lapdog. He was there to take... Fergus was really clever because he put Brown in there to take the flak. Otherwise, Fergus would have got that.
Yeah. Do you remember the famous... Only an excuse sketch because it was a couple of months later because that was October, wasn't it? And it was like, Jack, you resigned, Jack. But on that note, great to speak to you guys. I hope you're right, Stephen. But I'd settle for any has been right. Settle for any has been right.
Yeah.
God bless you. I hope you enjoy it tomorrow night.
Good night. Cheers.
In your smile. We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. and also subscribe to the CelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring